Greetings, everyone. This is Terry Naturally with another edition of Terry Talks Nutrition. We're here every weekend, same time, same station. You can't miss us. We love to have you join us. And I hope that you're getting some ideas that you can change your health anytime you want. You can make it better, and everybody is different. So some will get it really down pat. Some will improve dramatically. Some will improve a lot. But we all will improve our health if we do the things that we're talking about every weekend. Food is our best medicine. The diet we eat, the food we eat, is so critical to our health that there's no stronger medicine in the world than the food we eat. Every nutrient, every molecule, every nutrient, vitamin, mineral, polyphenol, whatever, in the food we eat sends messages to our cells for good health, or if we are eating a bad diet, the junk also sends messages to our cells and screws it up. So we need to eat a good, healthy diet, plenty of protein, plenty of good quality fats, and especially olive oil. There's nothing more critical for our health than olive oil. Does that sound outlandish? It's not. Some of the top researchers in the world that have been studying olive oil for years, up to 30 years, and they have come away with olive oil is the most important food and the only food that can prevent, reverse, and cure all of mankind's illnesses. Now it's up, and that doesn't come from me. That's come from, I'm just paraphrasing what scientists are saying today about olive oil. Everybody talks about the Mediterranean diet. Olive oil is the mainstay of that diet. It's the critical factor of the health of those that are in the Mediterranean countries. Also, wine is part of that diet. Small glass, not a 9-ounce glass of wine. A small glass of wine twice a day. Women should have it just once a day. I'm sorry, ladies. Just once a day. And it has to be done regularly, every day. Not to save up wine for the week and have it all on the weekend. And olive oil. 2 to 4 tablespoons a day of olive oil will change your life. Reduce cardiovascular disease. Improve circulation. And have an effect on many forms of cancer. Prevent cancer, and cure cancer. All diseases that are known to man and women are positively affected by the use of olive oil. In the Mediterranean countries, they consume individually over 20 liters of oil per year. Some experts are consuming a liter a week. And in the United States, we consume about 0.5 liter a year. We don't praise or consume olive oil as they do in the Mediterranean countries, because all the Mediterranean countries have a huge production of olive oil. We only have a little bit of olive oil produced in California. And it's about 2 to 5% of the olive oil that's produced worldwide. We're not known for production of olive oil. And there are some good olive oils in California and Arizona. So we do know a little bit about olive oil, but we don't consume it like the Mediterranean countries. They drink it. They start the morning with a shot glass or 2 shot glasses full of olive oil. I'm up to 1.5 shot glasses every morning. I think everybody should at least 2 tablespoons daily. It has a tremendous effect on all of our modern day health crisis. Cancer, arthritis, it's anti-inflammatory. It has an effect on many forms of cancer. Diabetes type 2. You name it, olive oil will have an effect. There are many different polyphenols in olive oil that have a huge impact on our health. And there's nothing wrong about it. There's no side effects. There's no adverse events. It's very, very effective. So that alone would be well worth your efforts that you've learned on the show. But there are so many good things we can talk about that will help your health over time. You can spend decades destroying your health. And within months, the body is so forgiving that you can reclaim your life, reclaim your health, and have a better quality of life. Now, others, some people will get more out of it, some people will get less out of it. And it depends when you start. If you have so much damage, you can't undo all that damage. If you've got joints that are bone on bone, there's nothing going to replace that. Maybe surgery. Maybe you'll have a knee replacement or a hip replacement. If you damage the hip joint or the knee joint, at least there is some hope there. But you need to start as early as possible. The young people feel so good, and they can burn the candle at both ends and get away with it until it's too late. Start now to be healthy. Earlier than never. Always start when you have no problems and you maintain a small amount of nutrients that you can maintain your health. So today we'll talk about some good subjects, hopefully to help you with other ideas. We're going to talk about how to reduce your blood sugar and your A1C level with an herb that is far more effective than metformin and without any side effects, no adverse events. And there are side effects with metformin. We'll also talk about your gut health and how it affects your mental function. Your gut, what happens in your gut affects your brain, affects everything about you. Your gut should be as healthy as possible to maintain health throughout your body. And then we'll talk about a new study on adverse events, side effects of acid-blocking medication. And now, ran across this recently, that young people now are experiencing dementia. Boy, are we escalating our aging process. That now younger people, cancer, mental decline, loss of memory, short-term memory loss, all of these things are happening now in younger people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. When we thought these were conditions associated with 80 and 90-year-old people. We'll talk about the quality of life during cancer treatment. What can you do? And you need more sleep, especially for a healthy liver. And how to lift your mood with exercise. So here are some scary statistics about diabetes. If current trends continue, the rate of diabetes in young people will increase by 700% by 2060. 1 in 3 Americans born in 2000 or after will eventually have diabetes. Every 24 hours, one day, every 24 hours. There are 238 amputations in people with diabetes in one day. Somebody's losing a foot, a leg, in one day. 120 people will enter end-stage kidney disease programs. And in one day, 48 people in America will go blind from diabetes. So what is diabetes? Well, in type 1, that is a real diabetic. There is a myth in the pancreas that the body does not make insulin. Insulin is produced in the pancreas. And without insulin, sugar cannot enter the cells to be used for energy. Insulin is a hormone that delivers sugar to the cells to be used for energy, to be burned up. So you have a lot of energy, less fatigue, less exhaustion, less tiredness. And it quite often starts in childhood. So it's a lifelong condition. There is no cure, and it is only treated with insulin therapy. And you know the two doctors that discovered insulin as a hormone did not patent it. They thought it was so valuable to everyone, they were not compensated financially for discovering how to treat diabetics with insulin. So those people are dependent on the hormone. And they learn how to regulate their diet and insulin therapy. Now, the type 2 diabetes is just a matter of cells that stop responding to insulin therapy. The body makes insulin in a type 2 diabetic. But the cells in the body become insulin resistant. Cells stop being sensitive to insulin therapy. And because the cells then don't accept sugar, so it continues to circulate in the blood. And the cells, because they can't pick up the sugar by insulin therapy, the cells starve for energy. It's like the old starvation in the midst of plenty. Previously known as adult onset diabetes, because only rarely seen in children, which is no longer the case, a disease of nutrition. While type 1 can't be reversed, can't be cured. Fortunately, though, those that have type 1 can use insulin therapy to manage their blood sugar. And type 2 diabetes is optional. It can be reversed. And that's where you come in. If you are a type 2 diabetic, this is important for you, because you can reverse it. Many doctors don't require their diabetics to take medication. Lifestyle and diet changes can reverse type 2 diabetes. Now let's take a quick look at HbA1c levels. HbA1c. Some people just say A1c. The Hb just stands for hemoglobin, which is a protein in the blood cells that carries oxygen throughout the body that is then joined to glucose. So the more sugar in your system, the higher your A1C will be. You'll have very high levels of A1C. Your A1C level should be around 5. 6 or 7, okay, but 5 is much, much better. And I've had people tell me that their A1C levels were in the teens. So A1C levels show long-term trends in blood sugar levels, because A1C levels don't change very quickly versus the blood glucose levels, which are a very quick snapshot of glucose levels at the moment. So when you have a diagnosis by your doctor from a blood test, oh my gosh, your blood sugar level is way too high. You're a diabetic. No, you're not a diabetic unless you accept that fact. Because just tiny reductions of A1C levels give you a tremendous health benefits. Just a 1% decrease in A1C can lead to 19% reduction in the risk of cataracts associated with sugar. The number one cause of blindness is diabetes, retinopathy, 19% reduction in risk of cataracts, a 16% reduction in the risk of heart failure, and a 43% less risk of amputation or death from peripheral vascular disease. Now, there is a cure for diabetes, natural cure. And the herb is called Hintonia lactiflora. Hintonia. H-I-N-T-O-N-I-A. Hintonia. It's native to Mexico and Central America. It has been known in Europe for over 70 years, especially in Germany, where they use it as a treatment for diabetes. Has no side effects, no adverse events, nothing you have to be careful with. And it's ideal for people with pre-diabetes, when there is fasting blood sugar levels between 100 and 125, and A1C levels of 5.7 to 6.4. Now, the research on Hintonia, 41 people with type 2 diabetes received Hintonia extract with a small amount of essential vitamins and minerals, including B vitamins and zinc. One capsule twice a day before meals for 6 months. Now, blood sugar levels trend very slowly. It doesn't change very fast. And when you take Hintonia twice a day before meals, just before meals, or even after meals is okay, for 6 months, you can expect results of 11% decrease in A1C levels, a 25% reduction in fasting glucose levels, and a 22% reduction in glucose levels after eating a meal. After eating a meal, blood sugar is going to spike. Glucose levels are going to spike. But you will have a 22% reduction of blood sugar spiking after meals with Hintonia. You won't get that sleepy, lazy, napping time after eating a meal. Now, all this research in Germany and Europe goes back all the way to 1950. Consistently documents beneficial effects of Hintonia in reducing blood sugar levels. What do we know about Hintonia? Well, after all the research of over 70 years, it is extremely safe. Research going back over that 70 years has found it to be very well tolerated, with no significant adverse effects. But the sooner it is used, the better it works. best results were seen in people with mild to moderate increase in blood sugar levels. In clinical trials, Hintonia was used safely along with a combination of insulin. So if you're on insulin, you can safely use Hintonia and any other oral anti-diabetic medications. But always keep your doctor informed. It's good to let your doctor know what you're doing, especially when you're on medication and you're adding a new supplement. You should let your doctor know. Now, the dosage of Hintonia. It's 100 milligrams of Hintonia, 1 to 3 times daily with meals. Also, you can add essential vitamins and minerals. And this 100 milligrams of Hintonia will provide 20 milligrams of polyphenols. The polyphenols is what makes it work. So 1 to 3 capsules daily with meals, preferably. Because, you know, diabetes is optional. We consume so much sugar daily, and we're talking about just pure sugar. But think of all the other forms of carbohydrates, which when consumed, has to be converted into sugar to be utilized and metabolized by the body. That's like bread, pasta, any kind of roll or a muffin, oatmeal, grains. All of those grains and flours from grains, they all have to be converted to sugar. Starches, potatoes, one of the worst sugar insults is from potatoes. The white potato. It is like eating a candy bar. Not healthy. White potatoes are not healthy. And if you have arthritis and you have aches and pains, when you give up potatoes, you'll see an improvement. Part of the nightshade family, along with peppers and a number of other foods that are in the nightshade family. You'll feel much, much better. Google the nightshade vegetables, and you'll come up with all the nightshade plants that will tell you to stay away from if you have arthritis. They'll make your joints hurt more. Do a little research. Find out how to take care of yourself better. Now we're going to talk about gut health, G-U-T, gut health, and how it affects mental function. You would never think of that, would you? If your brain isn't working, it's because your gut is not working. Did you know that, really, that your brain and your gut are connected? They're hardwired. Research has followed over 16,000 children from birth until their early 20s, including tests to characterize their gastrointestinal tract as young children, and recorded which children went on to experience neurodevelopment disorders, including ADHD and autism. Well, the results of this tracking, children later diagnosed with autism at birth to age 1 had lower levels of omega-3 fatty acids, lower levels of beneficial probiotics in their intestines, especially the bifidum bacterium, higher levels of PFAS, which are the forever chemicals. They never go away. Environmental contaminants commonly used as flame retardants. And they have frequent treatments with antibiotics for ear infections. Destroys the bacteria, the good probiotics, the good bacteria. Antibiotics can have adverse effects on beneficial intestinal probiotics. So stay tuned. I have a lot more on this subject coming up right after we take a break. We're going to take a break and come back with more information on the gut and brain connection. And if you want more later, go to terrytalksnutrition.com. You can read my newsletters, subscribe to my newsletter. You'll get a brand new newsletter every Friday at your email address. You can listen to the talk show. And if you miss them, they're all archived on the website. You can listen anytime you want on demand. Back right after this, right here on Terry Talks Nutrition. And welcome back, my friends. This is Terry Naturally. And now we're going into the second half of our program. We're going to be here to the top of the hour. We got more coming your way, lots more coming your way, and a lot of good information that you can use anytime. And right now we're talking about what your gut, G-U-T, gut, means to your brain, to your mental health. It has a huge effect. Now, we just talked about children who were later diagnosed with autism at birth to age one, had very low levels of omega-3 fatty acids. That's the good omega-3s. Lower levels of beneficial probiotics in their intestines, especially the bifidobacterium. They have the high levels of the forever chemicals, which are the environmental contaminants commonly used as flame retardants. They have been treated frequently and often with antibiotics for ear infection or other types of infection. We have been overdosed with antibiotics to the point that they don't work anymore. But they're still given frequently for all kinds of infection, even when they don't have an effect like cold and flu caused by a virus. Virus has totally different than a bacteria. But they use antibiotics for cold and flu all the time. It has no connection whatsoever. So now, what can you do then? Well, what can you do with this information, which is, I would say, because it has the best way to turn around your gut health. First of all, supplement your intake of omega-3 fatty acids during pregnancy, mom, are very important. Avoid eating fatty fish. They are contaminated with heavy metals, and fish oil, also subject to contamination and rancidity. Choose a clean omega-3 fatty acid in a solid dosage form, not with triglycerides that you find in fish, but this is with phospholipids. And there are 5 phospholipids in the brain. And this very special salmon-based omega-3 has the same 5 phospholipids to affect the brain function and in the same ratio. This is a clean salmon omega-3 extracted from the head of the salmon. It's in a solid dosage form, like a tablet or capsule, not a liquid, because it's based on phospholipids, not on triglycerides. And why would you want triglycerides? Triglycerides are not healthy for the heart. And then, mom, while you're pregnant, make sure that you take beneficial probiotics during pregnancy, especially the Lactobacillus plantarum and the Lactobacillus rhamnosus and the Bifidobacterium bifidum are very, very hardy strains, very desirable strains, and they're shelf stable. There's no dairy. These are the types of bacteria we should use to improve the health of the bacteria in the gut. And only use antibiotics when absolutely necessary. And you can confer this with your physician. And remember, they do not work on cold and flu. They don't work on viral infections. And if you want to treat your child or yourself, propolis, manufactured by the bees from the vegetation in the environment where the colony is or where the hive is. Propolis is a very safe, no side effects, no contraindication, no adverse events, and effectively treats ear infection and any other infection. Propolis is known as the multi-antimicrobial. It kills every form of viral infection, bacterial infection, fungal infection, and can be used by very, very young children. There are no side effects. Now, here's a new study. We just ran across this new study which uncovers the unexpected side effect of acid-blocking medications causing migraine headaches. OTC, standing for over-the-counter medications, can raise the migraine risk, increasing migraine headaches. And this came about by researchers who analyzed the data from over 11,800 people, which include people who use antacid treatments containing calcium carbonate, and a brand name that uses calcium carbonate is Tums, T-U-M-S, Tums. Don't use them. Or Rolaids. Or drugs that reduce the production. And Prilosec is one of the brand names that is used to reduce acidity, acid reflux. More subjects, more participants, more people taking acid neutralizers and acid-blocking medications are experiencing migraine headaches than those who didn't use these medications. Calcium carbonate raised the migraine risk by 30%. You know the PPIs, the proton pump inhibitors? They're nasty drugs. They raise migraine risk by 70%. If you're on these drugs and you've got migraine headaches, you know why you have them. And proton pump inhibitors were only supposed to be used temporarily. And I've run across people that have been on them for years. One lady's been on for over 14 years. You're destroying all the healthy hydrochloric acid in the stomach that is required to digest protein and also acidify all of our minerals so that we can absorb the minerals. So you are eventually starving of protein and minerals because there's no way to break them down because the proton pump inhibitors block all acids in the stomach, the good acid and the bad acid. Now, where do the bad acids come from? The fermentation of food you're eating because you're not digesting it. It's fermenting in your gut. And when you have fermentation, you have a lot of acidity. And that acidity moves up into the stomach and you belch. You taste that acid coming up. But when you block all the acidity, all the acid, you are preventing and inhibiting the breakdown of proteins because acidic, like hydrochloric acid, has to be required to break down proteins into the amino acids. If you don't digest the lamb, the fish, the chicken, the beef, the buffalo, whatever, you're not going to be able to get the amino acids which we require to keep our bodies healthy. And then they cause migraine headaches. and also previously research has linked the use of acid blockers to dementia, to Alzheimer's disease. Folks, if you're taking some of these proton pump inhibitors, please see your doctor. Question why you are using them. Clean up your diet. You go on the ketogenic diet, you won't have acidity. Now, you're also going to have plenty of nutrient depletion because you can't reduce the absorption. You can't increase the absorption of calcium and vitamin B12 unless you have plenty of acid. And then all these proton pump inhibitors and over-the-counter and antacids increase the risk of stomach cancer, bone fractures, and kidney disease. Drugs are not the answer. The answer is cleaning up your diet, making sure that you have plenty of good protein, plenty of fats. And I mentioned before, olive oil. I've seen people with stomach cancer cured with olive oil. So try to get off your OTC medications, over-the-counter medications, like Tums, like Rolaids, and also Prilosec as one of them, or Nexium, another brand name. Clean up your diet, and you will not have all that sugar and all those carbohydrates ferment in the gut, and you have a lot of acid production. We produce it. We may not know we do that. Now you know that. Now it's time for you to clean it up. Now, there are better ways to relieve acid reflux or heartburn. First of all, you should restore stomach acidity with betaine hydrochloride. It's a natural acid that our stomach produces as soon as protein gets into the stomach. And the only food that's digested in the stomach is protein. All the starch is initially starting to digest in the mouth. The longer you chew it, that starch, the bread, pasta, or whatever, becomes sweeter because we're breaking down the starch and we can taste the sugar. All starch, all carbohydrates turn to sugar in the body. And the amylase is excreted in the mouth temporarily. And then when all that carbohydrates goes down through the intestine, through the stomach, through the intestinal tract, it starts and finishes its digestion in the gut. But in our stomach, we need betaine hydrochloride, HCl. HCl stands for betaine hydrochloride, hydrochloric acid. We need hydrochloric acid in our stomach. People are going to say, God, Terry, what you're doing? I have too much acid in my stomach. I can't take more acid. Yeah, you can. Just improve your diet. It's your diet that's causing the acid. But temporarily, you can reduce the symptoms of acid reflux by taking D-limonene, that's an oil that's excreted from the peels of citrus fruits. And also with a combination of sea buckthorn oil. So about 600 milligrams once or twice daily. I would do it twice daily to start. Even double that if you have to. Because D-limonene both protects the stomach lining without interfering with the acid production, which we need, and also helps paralysis, the contractions of the intestines to keep food moving through the digestive tract. Your gut makes every other function of your body healthy, if it is healthy. And sea buckthorn is a source of beneficial fatty acids, especially omega-7. You may not have heard of omega-7. I'm sure you've heard of omega-3, 6, and 9. But omega-7 is very rare. And it's primarily only found in sea buckthorn. It's a berry that grows in China and the Himalayas. Actually, the omega-7 comes from the fruit, or the pulp of the berry, and is shown to protect and heal stomach ulcers, as well as reduce inflammation in the intestinal tract and the intestinal mucosa. So you can reset your digestive system by taking D-limonene and sea buckthorn oil together, 600 milligrams several times a day, and also take a blend of 14 Ayurvedic herbs, including ginger, andrographis, and coca-cola, 800 milligrams before bedtime, or you can even double that with a full glass of water. It'll regulate your gut, regulate your bowel movements. No, it's not a laxative. You don't have to be afraid to leave home without knowing where a bathroom is going to be next. Gently improves regulation of the bowel, intestinal tract, the gut. This is a better way to improve the health of your gut and regulate your movements. Making your gut healthy will in turn improve every function of your body. Not only does it improve the quality of your gut, but also use pre-probiotics. That means that's the food that feeds the probiotics. What kind of food? Well, like walnuts, like pistachios, and there are many, many others. Just Google pre-probiotics. That means the food to feed, and hopefully they'll grow faster and bigger and much more. And get a good probiotic, one that is shelf-stable, that's guaranteed to last for 2 years. Some manufacturers put on their label the quantity of bacteria, like 10 billion or 20 billion or whatever it might be, and they say at the time of manufacturing, because they know that those live bugs are not going to live. And in time, the 10 billion will be 5 billion, and then 3 billion, and then 1 billion. They're going to die off. They're live bugs. We have 4 to 6 pounds of probiotics in our gut, and we need to feed them. Anything living needs food. And the more you feed them, in fact, some experts believe you don't need probiotics, you just need to feed the ones you have. And they'll grow like tremendously in a few days. And you don't have to take 100 billion or 500 billion. More is not better. What's really good is the quality and the hardiness of the probiotics that you're consuming. And then you feed them. You can't expect them to survive if you don't feed them. And they're not going to grow on fast food or junk food. You need to feed them correctly. And they'll grow like crazy. You take 10 or 20 billion, and in a few days, you'll have 500 billion. You don't have to pay for a price of 500 billion to start. You'll have 500 billion in a few days. Just start with 20 or 40 billion. I take 40 billion every morning. Your gut will be very, very happy with all the food that you're feeding the probiotics. Dementia. Boy, everybody dreads that as we get older, right? Loss of memory, Alzheimer's disease, forgetfulness, short-term memory loss, can't think, groping for the right word to say, not being able to put a sentence together. I know someone like that, and they shouldn't be running the country. I think everybody agrees that somebody is not well enough. Well, that's a different subject. I'm not going to get into the political. That's too far out. Anyway, let's hope something happens in the fall of the year that we get somebody in, whoever is in, can maintain a well-functioning America. But now we have young people with dementia, and it can affect young people as well as older people. The number of people with early onset dementia in ages 30 to 44 is increasing dramatically. One study found that dementia rates for this age group increased 373% in the five-year period from 2013 to 2017. In a new study, researchers looked for risk factors for early onset dementia. What are these young people doing that increasing the risk factors for why they have dementia? So following a group of people, younger people, under 65, when the study began, and it's a 15-year study, and recording their lifestyle and nutritional data. Now the results, 15 risk factors that increase the risk of dementia for early onset dementia were identified. And several were included related to dietary intake or lifestyle, excessive alcohol, alcohol abuse, vitamin D deficiency, high C-reactive protein levels. Now, the C-reactive protein, known as CRP, is an indicator of how much inflammation you have in your body. Doctors can check the C-reactive protein levels and give you an indication what your inflammatory process is in your body. How much inflammation is in your body? Type 2 diabetes is a good example of why people have dementia. If you are a type 2 diabetic, you've increased your risk of Alzheimer's disease. Now here is I would call this a dementia prevention plan. How can we slow down? How can we make any difference in whether or not we have well-functioning mental capacity or not? Now, I'm on the ketogenic diet. I like that diet. It does very well for me. Keeps me trim, slim, fit, flexible, more mobility, no pain, no aches. I swear by it. But also the paleo diet as well is a good diet as well. The Mediterranean diet. And the researchers in this program for dementia in young people selected the Mediterranean diet, which is linked with almost a 25% reduction in dementia. Now get this, I talked about it earlier in the program. Just a daily spoonful. And I like to see 2 to 4 tablespoons a day, but this was 1 tablespoon of olive oil a day alone.